How did it go for you this week? We talked last week about an opportunity that God was going to give you this week to work for Him. Do you remember? We talked about God giving you opportunities to witness, to shine for Him. How did it go? Did He give you that opportunity to cooperate with Him this week? To till a little bit of soil? Yes? I know that some of you went out to give away bottles of water. I know that happened. Tom, how many labels did we make? 280 labels you made for bottles of water to hand out at the park. Well, at least you'll have plenty for next time, right? They're what? They're all gone. 280 people got to see this is coming to you as a tangible evidence of God's love from the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Lakeland. Is that awesome or what? Is that tilled up soil? Sure, nobody's going to come right away and go, oh, hey, whoa, I want to be baptized. That's all right. They're hearing about us. They're knowing that we are people who love like Jesus loves. And we talked last week about, something about not grumbling. Do you remember that one? You remember that? Did God give you an opportunity not to grumble this week? Maybe you got into a situation where before you would have grumbled, but this week you went, I remember. We talked about not grumbling in the scriptures this week. And so you made a choice. Not going to grumble this week. Not going to happen. How about it? Did you find a way to depend on God and serve Him this week? We've been going through 2 Corinthians, beginning with chapter 3, verse 18. Turn there with me, please. We've been looking at this bit by bit, and I want to refresh your mind on this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. I love hearing those pages turn. It's awesome. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being changed or transformed, yes? We're looking more and more like Jesus every day. We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And we went on to verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, and that's what we talked about a little bit last week, the ministry that God has given us to go out and work with others, to help them to learn about Him, to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, as Jesus has revealed Himself to us, as we are working for Him, as we get excited about what God is doing in Lakeland, then how could we possibly lose heart? It's beautiful. We see God at work. 280 labels should have been way enough. Gone. All gone. Out there witnessing. Tiny witness, but that's all right. A tiny one here and a tiny one there. Bit by bit. Line upon line. Precept upon precept, right? And God's truth seeps into the heart of Lakeland. And as we plant the seed with that kind of ready soil, it'll spring up to a great harvest. And so, how can we lose heart? And now, we come to verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And so we want to think about this for just a moment, renouncing the hidden things of shame or dishonesty, yours might say there. You see, as we've come to God, as we turn our hearts to Him, old things are passed away, yes? Behold, all things are become new. Isn't that what your life is like? That God has come in, made you into a new creature? Now we have renounced the hidden things of shame. I wonder if you remember. For some of us, it's getting longer and longer ago, but for some, it's pretty recent that we were right up there in a place like that. And we, as we were put down in that water, we were showing the Lord's death. We were dying to self. We were renouncing the world. We were putting it behind us. We took it away from our thoughts. We said, we will now serve the Lord and the world can be behind us. Yes? Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what you remember doing as you went down in the watery grave? That you were putting the world behind you and the cross before you. Yes? That's what it was all about, wasn't it? We renounced the hidden things of shame. We're getting rid of it. Even those things that nobody else knows about. You know how that is. The few little things that Satan tempts us to keep, to hang on to, nobody will know. Nobody will care. It's all right. I don't do it out where people can see. It's not a bad witness. I still have a good-looking tie. Is it a good-looking tie? Is it okay? Does it look all right? All right, good. Everybody here knows I have tie trouble, you know? We have renounced those hidden things. They're behind us now. What shall we say then, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We put that to death in the waters of baptism, didn't we? It's gone. It's over. Now we live to Jesus Christ. Wow, wait a minute. Let's try that again. Now we live to Jesus Christ. Thank you. That's where our life is now. Our life was hid in God with Christ. Yes? Absolutely. And then it goes on. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness. Not walking in craftiness. Now I have a question for you. Was that walking? Is that walking? Or is this walking? This walking, isn't it? Walking is a continuous thing. See? We're not walking in craftiness. This is not our mode of operation. We're not crafty as a design. We make mistakes. We step in the mud puddles of life sometimes, don't we? But we're not walking in craftiness. It's not our habit to see if we can pull one over on people. Right? That's not what we do in this life of Christ. That's not what we're all about here. We're not walking in craftiness. We're walking in the light. We're God's servants. We follow Him. We walk where He leads us. We don't walk in craftiness. We follow the Lord. We follow as He leads us. And so we're not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. What? Huh? How can you handle the Word of God deceitfully? Well, sure, you could always, you know, tweak the Scriptures to say some doctrine that you want. But we're Seventh-day Adventists. Of course we don't do that. But do we sometimes use Scriptures for a cloak? Is that possible that we'd be tempted to do that? That we'd use the Scriptures to cover something up and handle the Word of God deceitfully? You see, there's more than one way to handle it deceitfully, isn't it? We're real quick to see how others do it. Are we as quick to see how we might have a problem? And so we have to think about this, that we have renounced the hidden things of shame. We have not walked in craftiness, nor are we handling the Word of God deceitfully. You see, we as Seventh-day Adventists are the people who have gone in trust with God 100%. We've put other stuff behind us. We've stepped out as reformers. People of the book, yes? Isn't that true? God's followers, 100%. We're not here to see what we can get out of this. We're here to serve the Lord, yes? We're here to do God's work. We're not here to try and fool people into thinking we're cool or that we're something. We know this is about Jesus, not about us. And so this is about Him. Not handling the Word of God deceitfully and preaching something we don't practice. Just a couple of chapters over in chapter 6, it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." And we usually think, oh, see, don't marry someone who's not a believer. But I think Paul had something a little wider in mind as he said that. "For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Can we walk together? And what communion has light with darkness? Can we have those two together? Does this flashlight put out a beam of darkness? Or only a beam of light?" You see, as we come together, all of the big parts and all the little parts too. As we come together to do God's work, we are to shed the love, the light of God to the world. Not half and half. Not half light and half darkness. But we're here to give God's light to the world. That's what we're all about. That's who we are. We've put all those other things behind us. We've renounced all of those things. And not only did we once renounce them and then kind of slide back over, but we don't walk there. We walk here, following the Lord. We follow God. We don't walk in craftiness. We've renounced it and we've walked away from it. Both. And so, verse 5. "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake." We do not preach ourselves. That's pretty serious. Because the tendency of the world is to preach itself, isn't it? To say that we are the ones that need to be looked at. We're the ones that need to be talked about and held up high. But I think, if I recall correctly, Jesus said the one that wanted to be the greatest in the kingdom needed to be the servant of all, yes? In other words, we get underneath and we pick people up. We don't grab them by the hair and try and pull them up. Right? We help people up as servants. This is not about us. We don't preach ourselves. We don't talk about ourselves. We talk about Jesus. This is about Him. This is about lifting up the Savior. This is not about telling how great we are as a congregation, how wonderful our church is. This is about telling how wonderful our Savior is. As we want to tell the people of Lakeland about this place, they'll find this place when we tell them about the Savior. That's how it works. We tell them about Jesus. It says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." How many of you were watching football this weekend? It was quite the hit Tim Tebow took, wasn't it? Did you see that? And we get off talking about stuff like that. And of course, you have to know, I was watching too, or I wouldn't know that illustration, right? I'm not hiding anything. But I can tell you what the burden of my conversation is when I talk to other people. It's about Jesus Christ. That's where we need to be. That's what we need to be focused on. That needs to be what burns in our hearts as we meet with others. It what needs to be consuming us. It needs to be the light that cannot be kept inside of us. The light that shines out to all that see us and hear us, who talk with us, who act, interact with us at work and in our neighborhoods. They need to see Jesus in us, hear Jesus in us, feel Him touch them through our lives. It needs to be about Jesus. It needs to be Jesus shining out from our lives as much as this light shines out from this flashlight. It needs to be God's light in us that makes a difference in our world. We can very often go to our neighbors, go to our friends, and they see us as we keep the Sabbath. And we can do a lot of talking about those things, but we turn into really good Foley artists. Do you know what a Foley artist is? Anybody know what a Foley artist is? You know a Foley artist? Yeah, we know one person knows what a Foley artist. A Foley artist is the guy who goes into a studio for the movies and he gets a humongo sheet of like tin. And when it's time for the thunder to happen, he goes, and he goes, and shakes all around. And the Foley artist is the guy who gets a little box of pebbles and he takes two shoes and he goes, that's the Foley artist, the one who does the sound effects. And what can happen sometimes is that we can shed a lot of sound, we can make a lot of noise, but we don't have the light of the lightning if we're not careful. If we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we aren't cultivating that relationship with Him, if we aren't actually out there with Him, getting the fire in us, getting struck by the lightning. The thunder is nothing but a bunch of noise. And sometimes we're Foley artists. We talk about the Sabbath, or we talk about what we eat or what we drink, and we make a lot of noise and we scare a lot of people. You ever notice people aren't all that scared of the lightning? It's always the thunder, isn't it? You know? My little grandchildren, just like that. Little flash and they keep right on talking, but boy, when that noise hits, whoo, they're under the bed. Whoo. And we tend to do that to people sometimes because they aren't acquainted with the connection between the sound and the light. We need to make that connection. Or else, if we're not connected, if we don't have the love of Christ burning a hole in our hearts right down to our shoes, we have become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, huh? Foley artists. We have to keep it together. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And then he says, this is a little tougher. Are you with me on this one? Verse 5 there. And ourselves your what? Servants, bond servants. The Greek says slaves. But slaves isn't a popular word, is it? Because it has the implication of putting up with injustice and still serving, doesn't it? It has the implication of being reviled and still loving. It has the implication of being spit on and having a crown thrust on your head and still loving enough to die on a cross. That's the implication of slave, isn't it? And we're not comfortable with that sometimes. Oh, wait. Somebody's been there before us. You see, we're called to love. To love down deep, to love and give that message even in the face of rejection. Even to the unloving and unlovable. And so Paul says, and ourselves, your bond servants, for Jesus' sake. What a powerful thing to be like Jesus, to serve like Him. And then verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Wow! Did I read that right? Did I read that right? The God who created light, the one who in the beginning said, "Let there be light," the Creator God. Not just some God of wood and stone. The Creator God, no less than He, is the one who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts. What a privilege is ours. Isn't it awesome? The Creator God has shined in our hearts. You see, when I shine the light like that, can you see anything coming out of there? Can't see it, can you? If you look up there, even up there, it's hard to see, isn't it? If you focus it just right, maybe you can see a little bit of it. You see, it's only as it's focused on our hearts that it reflects and others can see it. He has given the light into our hearts so that the world can see the light that's shining in the face of Jesus. It's a beautiful plan God has. A beautiful plan. You see, it's a plan that starts with Him. We love Him. We are returning to God what He has already given to us. We love because He first loved us. God has already reached out to us. God has already given us this wonderful light shining in our hearts. What a beautiful opportunity for us to reflect to others. What an opportunity. We love because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God, oh yes, I'm reflecting my light back up to God. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, oh, I'm not letting my light shine to you. What does John tell us in 1 John 4, verses 19 and 20? If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? We show our love of God in our hearts because our light shines to everyone else. We pass it on to others. They can't help but notice it because God's love is in us. Brothers and sisters, as Seventh-day Adventists, God has touched our hearts in unique ways that are so awesome. The world can hardly comprehend it. And even the rest of Christendom has a hard time catching up. What a beautiful opportunity for us. God has shared so much with us. It is an awesome, awesome opportunity. And it says that He did this to give light to us, reflecting to others the knowledge of the glory. Glory? Wait a minute. Glory? Don't I remember that back in chapter 3, verse 18? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. You see, it comes full circle again. That we are reflectors of this glory. That's what we are to do. Again today, this can be merely a theological discussion, merely intellectual entertainment as we hear this message today, and we can go out and it's a good sermon. Great. Or it can reach down. It can light a fire in your own soul. It can kindle God's love shining out from your heart today, a light in the darkness of where you live, where you work, where you go, where you shop. Everything you do, this light can shine out from you. This needs to go out onto the streets of Lakeland so that they can see the light of the glory of God. It's not going to be easy. I'm not going to tell you that it won't be difficult. John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20 says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the light, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Men love the light. Man, as soon as you tell them about Jesus, people just flock, right? Isn't that what it says? No? And men love darkness rather than light. Why? because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. You see, this will not just go without difficulty. And yet the next verse, verse 21 says, but he who does the truth comes to the light. You will find people who love to hear the message of God. Praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit is out there already. And the work that you're doing day by day prepares people to hear the message of the gospel. God is at work. God is at work through you. God is doing marvelous things right now. And He wants to work through you. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. This week, as we've mentioned before, I want you to be God's royal priesthood, ministering for God. Because 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. We talked about that too, didn't we? But why? Why are we this chosen generation? Why are we this royal priesthood? What's our purpose? What are we doing here? Why has God given us this light? It says that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Out of it, we have renounced it. We've come out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Praise the Lord. Praise God. What an awesome thing he has done for us. It is amazing. And so this week, you can be God's royal priesthood. You can renounce those things, not walk in the deceit. You can walk in God's light this week, sharing it with others as he has allowed it to shine in your heart this week. Reflect it to others. That's what we're looking for. It is our opportunity to be the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. Folks out there, they need the message that you have. They need to hear from you. They need you to reflect what God has shed into your heart. But the Lord, it says, will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. What an awesome privilege is yours this week. I have asked you, week by week, to do these kinds of things, haven't I? To use your opportunities from God to shine in the world, yes? I'm not mincing words. I'm not messing around. I want love with skin on it. Yours. I want this to not just be something you believe, not even something you do occasionally, but I want it to be deep within you, something that you are. I want it to be love inside that can't help but come out to the world around you. And so week by week, I've asked you, take this to the world. Take this to Lakeland. Take it to everyone you know. And this week, I want to go a step further. Are you ready? Oh no, what's he going to ask now? I want to take it a step further. Take a look at the back of your bulletin. If you open it all the way up like this, and you turn on the side that has the Bible. You with me? The side that has the Bible there. Go right across the page where it says church contacts. Are you with me? You see that there? There's this guy right there. His name is Ron. And his cell phone number is listed. His home phone number is listed. I want you to call me this week. I want you to call me this week. I know I'll get carpal earful or something. That's all right. I'm okay with that. I have a Bluetooth headset. And I can even change ears with it. When one ear gets tired, I can work with the other one. I want to hear your story this week. I want to hear how God has used you this week. How He has shown in your heart. Because I know He has. I know God is shining in your heart this week. I know He will. Because I prayed for it. You're in trouble, see? I got somebody bigger than you working on this, see? So y'all are in trouble. I've asked God to work in your hearts this week, and I've asked Him to give you an opportunity to serve Him, an opportunity to reflect back to your world the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. And when that happens this week, ring, 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 ring. I want my phone to ring. I might be on the line with someone else telling me their story. That's all right. Leave me a message. I want to hear your story. Call me this week. All right? Am I clear enough with this? Clear enough? All right. Let's see how big we can make my cell phone bill. No, no, wait. call my home phone. That's all right. However you can do it, do it. Call me this week because I want to hear the exciting stories that God is doing in your life. God has some wonderful things.